I'm so glad you're in my life. I couldn't help singing, I am, Lord. Oh, boy, am I glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save me. I wonder, did you think the same? Well, now then, there's our story. Don't know if you think it's a strange story to take, but I read it last week. I think it was in my quiet time, and I thought, no, I got to preach on this because it's speaking to me powerfully. So this is a story 1,000 years before Bethlehem and Jesus. This tiny little country, which we saw on the map there, you know, like a little speck, Israel, has been chosen by God to be a special people. They have their law, they have the tabernacle, and from them, the Jews, is going to come this Messiah, Jesus Christ. But if you know the story, the Israelites moan and grumble and whinge all the time, even when they've been delivered from Egypt and Pharaoh, they whinge all the time. And by the time we get to the book of Samuel, they come to Samuel and they say, look, all the other countries have got a king. And Samuel explains, you got a king. You a king is the best king. He's the Lord God Almighty. And they say, we want a king like everybody else has got. And so Samuel goes to God. God speaks to the people via Samuel and says, if you have a king, can I warn you what sort of king he will be? Because he's going to be a sinner. Can I warn you how bad it's going to be? And they listen, and God doesn't pull any punches in his warnings, and they listen, and then they say, we want a king. And so the Lord gives them what they ask for. And I'll just pause there. God is not a rapist. He will give you what you want. If you don't want him in your life, I'm so glad you're in my life. If you insist until the moment you die that you don't want him, he will give you that wish forever without him. If you want to live on planet Earth without God and die without God, he will give you that. He will. So the Lord gave the people what they wanted. He gave them a king, and he's head and shoulders above the rest, tall Saul. But Saul soon lives up to all the prophetic warnings that the Lord had given. He's hopeless. And Samuel, godly old Samuel, says to Saul, I'm not counseling you again, I'm not visiting you again, I'm not advising you again, I'm washing my hands of you. And so Samuel, as we heard in the story this morning, I didn't know that was the story, anoints young David. Now then, Israel has two groups now, two factions, two parties, Saul's old followers. Saul has died. Saul's old followers and David's followers. So you've got like a kind of splinter groups, if you like. Abner leads Saul's group. He was Saul's right-hand man. And one day, they sit down, David's men and Saul's old men, Abner's men, if you like, and foolishly, one says, let's have a team. Let's sort all these factions out. We'll have a match, 12 against 12. You pick 12, we'll pick 12, and we're going to sort it out, whoever wins. And it turns out to be absolutely disastrous because all 24 are killed. And so not only is it a shocking waste of life, but it's inconclusive. Nobody wins. And so now we've got civil war, if you like. We've got civil war, absolute mayhem, bloodshed. And Abner realizes that his group are losing. So he says, retreat, let's leg it, boys, let's get out of here. He's an experienced warrior. He's a seasoned soldier. He knows that at times we just need to retreat, regroup, and fight again. So off he goes. But Asahel, who was on Joab's team, he chases Abner. And it says he's as fleet-footed as a gazelle. He's as fast as a gazelle. Now, Abner is a warrior, a soldier, but obviously he can't outrun this guy. So Abner tries to shake him off. He twists and he turns. He goes here, he goes there, but Asahel keeps on coming. In the end, he shouts to him, look now, I'm going to be far too strong for you. Chase somebody else. Pick on somebody else. You know, gazelles are famous for sprinting away from trouble, aren't they? Not running into it, as Asahel is. And he keeps on coming. So now Abner tells him, look, I don't want to kill you, just stop. You need to think about this. Back off. Stop coming after me. I'm warning you. If you fight me, you'll lose. But Asa Hale takes no notice of the warnings, driven by his emotions, his feelings, whatever. Apparently, he has no idea that he's out of his depth here. He has no concept. He doesn't seem to realize that in a few seconds, he's going to be dead. His life, and that's how it is. In a few seconds, his life is over, just like that. And I read this story, and I've just felt, oh, I've got to preach on this because this is so powerful. The warnings that we're out of our depth and we need to do something regarding God. You know, do you remember when Moses went to Pharaoh on behalf of God and said, Pharaoh is like this, let my people go. Pharaoh said, okay, and then no, and then no, and then yes, and then no. And in the end, if you remember, the Lord says to Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh, you won't see me again. There's going to be one last plague, and yet my people are going to come out. It's as simple as that. I will bring my people out. Final warning to Pharaoh, if you remember. And that's exactly what happens, isn't it? Pharaoh has continually picked a fight with Almighty God, and there comes a time when the Lord says, right, I'll play my trump card. That's it then. Over now. That's the end. Maybe you remember in Isaiah 37, the Syrian commander comes and they surround Jerusalem and they threaten the people. The people are scared stiff. And the king, Hezekiah, is scared. And he goes to Isaiah and he says, I'm going to pray that the Lord will do something. And the Lord answers via Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah says to the king, or to the king's commander. Who is it you've insulted? The Holy One of Israel. You've heaped insults on the Lord. And haven't you done that? Haven't I done that? You picked a fight with God. And therefore the Lord says, it's not going to happen. And Sennacherib, the king, is, in a short time, he's dead. Abner warned Asa Hale, stop. Think about what you're doing. Don't keep pushing your luck. Don't keep coming after me, or you will lose. And in fact, it's not even a contest. Abner doesn't even have to get in combat mode. He just kills him with the butt end of the spear. It's no contest. And the point is, surely, this was totally unnecessary. Asa Hale, why did you think you could carry on living like this? You could carry on in this direction? Didn't you stop and think for a second that you're out of your league, out of your depth? Didn't you show any common sense? If only you'd thought, Asa Hale. Trouble with common sense, as somebody said years ago, is not very common. The Bible says by nature, in Romans 5, we are God's enemies in our minds. No common sense. Ephesians says the problem is we need our minds renewed. No common sense. Titus says our conscience and minds are corrupted. No common sense. Romans 1 teaches our thinking has become futile, pointless, up the creek. Regarding Almighty God, me and you by nature have no common sense at all. And the people who will be in the Phoenix today have no common sense either. And we show we have no common sense, and some of you are still showing you've got no common sense because you're still going in the same direction, you're still picking a fight with God every day. Because you don't take any notice of what he says. Just like Asa Hale didn't take any notice of the warnings from Abner, some of you are the same. You take no notice of God. Even though, look at the evidence, the clear evidence of his existence and his mercy to people like us. He calls us day in, day out, wordless revelation of the glory of God. The sun comes up. Oh, well, well, it comes up in the east again. Well, well, there's a fluke, isn't it? No, it's not. God is telling us he's in charge, he's in control. God created everything. And he calls us to turn away from the path we're on. As Abner called to Asa Hale, turn away. Don't keep coming in the same direction. You lose. Find another road. There are two roads. We're all on the broad road. You, me, and everybody else. By nature. Only God can take us off that broad road onto the narrow road. But he won't do it if you don't want him to. He'll give you what you want. Does Asahel realize he's seconds away from death? Apparently not. Did he stop and think? Have you stopped, ever stopped to think? You know, I've seen a few people die, not many. I hate death, I really do. When I've seen a few people die, when they're terrified, I can't cope with it. And they're right to be scared. That's the thing, see, they're right to be scared. There's no point in saying, oh, don't worry about it. They really should worry about it. That's the very thing they should have worried a long time ago, not just now on the deathbed. Are you using any sense this morning? Any common sense? See, you don't need to be saved from the wrath of Abner. You need to be saved from the anger and fury of God, because you've ignored him. We've all ignored him. It's not just you. Everybody on the planet has ignored him. That's why everybody needs to be saved, because we can't. It's not pointing us just saying, right, can I go to church and start reading my Bible? Well, that's not enough, is it? We need a savior, because we haven't taken a blind bit of notice of what God says. He says, stop. He says, do you really think that you can get to heaven just by breathing your last breath? Do you really think you can get to heaven by coming to church and sitting at the back and then having a cup of tea and going home? Do you think you can get to heaven just by saying, oh yeah, I believe that, you know, and listening to a few CDs or watching a few Christian DVDs? Jeremiah 32, the Lord thunders at the people through Jeremiah. They've turned their backs to me, he says. That's what you've done. That's what I've done. Some of you are doing it right now. You know, as an illustration, I've used it hundreds of times because it was so powerful when I saw it in a film where Elliot Ness is the FBI guy and he's hunting down Al Capone and all his cronies. And he catches this guy, and Elliot Ness has got his gun pointing at him. And he says, put your hands in the air. Don't reach for your gun. Keep your hands in the air. And this gangster slowly is dropping his hands, and Elliot Ness is saying, Don't lower your hands, don't go for your gun. And of course the guy does, and Elliot Ness shoots him. The guy falls there in a pool of blood, and Elliot Ness runs up to him and says, didn't you hear me? Did you think it was a game? And as soon as I saw that scene, I thought, how many people like you are in church? And God is saying, didn't you hear me? Did you think it was a game? Some of you sit there now, no response. God is speaking, no response. You turn your back to him and say, not listening. Say, oh no, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't sleep around. Who cares? But you're ignoring God. Heaven is perfect. You and I are not. It's that simple, isn't it? So unless God does a miracle of forgiveness and renewal in my life, I've had it, haven't I? What chance have I got? You know, I remember a big tough guy standing outside the church having a fag on a Sunday night, and I was talking to him, and I said, what are you thinking of? What have you just heard? I'll take my chances. He said, what chances? What are you talking about? What chances are there? He couldn't answer. He said, what chances? Tell me, what are the chances here now then? You're going to stand before Almighty God on your own in your sin. What are the chances? How good? What are the odds here of you getting into heaven in your filth? No chances, are there? And some of you sit there, you're unmoved. And God has provided one way. It cost him his son. It cost him the cross. It cost Jesus to suffer hell for us. And some of you sit there and say, oh, I know all that, though, but I'm safe. Based on what? How do you know you're safe? There was a very large youth meeting many, many, 25 years ago, whatever it was, and I had to take this large group of young men, really, not kids now, young men, and some church leaders into this room, and I'm just trying to ask them questions. How do you know that you're going to heaven? And the answers were absolutely awful. Oh, my mother said she prayed for me when I was 7. How old are you now? 22. What's happened since? What do you mean? Right, forget it. How do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, I had a tingle a few years ago when the pastor was preaching. Right? And then the church leaders pitched in, and they weren't much better. I had to say, you'll stand before Almighty God on your own. Are you pinning all your hopes to a tingle in a meeting? You're pinning everything on the fact the hair in the back of your head stood up when somebody was preaching? Is that it? Oh, I want something a lot more solid than that when I stand before God, don't you? Here's Jesus. He's here now by his Spirit. Take him. Take him while you can. If you're not listening, well, I can't help you. But if you are listening, now is the time to take him. Don't ignore him. Asa Hale's death was just so unnecessary. There was no need for it, man. If only he'd listened, but he didn't listen. If only, I am convinced those two words echo around the corridors of hell. How many people gnaw their tongues in agony and hate themselves eternally for the fact, if only I'd listened, if only that time, if only I'd prayed for God to do something, if only I'd listened. How many people? You've all heard this morning, my hands are clean. I've discharged my duty here to warn you. You won't be able to blame me if you turn away again and ignore him on that day. You won't be able to point a finger at me. But you will suffer eternally. Take him. Turn to him. Amen. Let's sing a great old hymn, three verses.